1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with your host, John Zagluhl.
John, I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. You got an awesome voice, man, and that was a terrific intro. You're like a pro's pro.
You know, that was the first time somebody ever said that, John. No, you're the first person to ever say anything like that. That's very interesting.
You got it, John. Anything for a fellow Chicago guy.
Well, what a great question.
That's a great question. Nobody's actually asked me that.
I like it. What a great question. I never heard that before.
Chase Utley is what? You're saying he's not a Hall of Fame candidate?
You know, it's funny. You may be the only person that I've heard make that connection.
Thank you, John, for having me. I'm doing great. By the way, you have an outstanding voice. Not sure about your face because I haven't met you, but your voice is great.
You're doing a much better job than I ever did. You've had some heavy hitters guests on too, man, so keep up the good work. But it's good to be with you, and I'm ready to talk sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluhl. Great to have you here. On today's edition of the program, do not boo Mitch Trubisky when he returns. We'll explain more in just a moment. Also, a brand new interview today with George Offman, the host of Tell Me a Story I Don't Know. We talk with him about some Cubs, Bears, and White Sox news, plus his podcast and what to expect for the upcoming season. It's a great interview, and it comes your way near the midway point of this show. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluhl. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Before we start today, I have to tell you about State Farm agent Brian McDevitt. A lot of our listeners have gone to him for all their insurance needs, and he's been very helpful in getting them the coverage they deserve. There's no games with Brian. He's just here to help and make sure you feel safe. If you have insurance needs and you haven't called them yet, what are you waiting for? Dial up the number, 630-796-2662. That's 630-796-2662. Or find them online at brianismyagent.com. That's brianismyagent.com. And make sure to mention Sports Talk Chicago. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I want to start today with this. Anyone here have an ex-girlfriend or ex-boyfriend? Sure, all of you do. There's a difference between you breaking up with them and them breaking up with you. And for those of you who've gone through this, I'm sure you understand it. There's a difference between them leaving you and telling you goodbye versus you ending the relationship on your own terms. You know that. It's true. When you end the relationship, it's up to you. You said, I'm not happy. I don't want to be here anymore. I'm done. And you leave. When you see your ex on the street or walking around, there's no ill will. She'll have ill will towards you, but you will have nothing to say. You moved on. You found someone new. And there's no issue whatsoever. Now, if you were left, if your ex told you, I'm done, and you saw them, yes, I would not be happy. I wouldn't want to see him. There'd be no point. It would only lead to anger, sadness, distress. In that situation, I would understand booing. I would actually get it. Go ahead, boo your ex. But if you broke up with them, you moved on. They're an afterthought. They mean nothing to you anymore. So if you saw them on the street, chances are you wouldn't go up to them and boo them and berate them and tell them you suck. Bears fans have a decision to make on Saturday. And I'm sure you've seen all the press about this. Mitchell Trubisky is returning to Soldier Field. Preseason game. Course, so the game means nothing, and how he does really won't make a difference. I mean, he could throw for 6 touchdowns. The game is meaningless. It's an exhibition. People are acting as if it's a real game, but it's not. Doesn't matter. People are billing this. The Fields and Trubisky Bowl. Who's better? You can't tell in a preseason game. So there's no point in even engaging in that discussion, and I'm not going to do that. I'm here to talk about booing, and I'm here to talk about what he did, believe it or not, for the Bears and how things went sour. Now, for those of you who listen to me, yes, I'll admit it, I was a Trubisky supporter. Not ashamed of that, but at least I'm logical enough to understand what his limitations were. Is he a top 10 quarterback in football? No way. Had some people saying that. I was not one of them. At his best, he'd probably be around 17 or 18. At his best, with a great team around him and with the weapons he needs to succeed. I thought last year, he was the better quarterback. Plain and simple. Won more games. Did better in the offense when he had Bill Lazor calling plays. Was more mobile than Nick Foles. And hey, they made the playoffs and didn't win. That's not the point. The point is, for 4 years here in Chicago, to his credit, he did his best. May not have been spectacular, may not have been Patrick Mahomes-esque, Deshaun Watson-esque, but winning record, Pro Bowl appearance, 2 playoff appearances. He did everything he could to win over this fan base, and nobody cared. I mean, the night after he was drafted, there's a story right here, I have it in front of me, from Jason Leisure of the Chicago Sun-Times that said he was booed. He was booed the night after he was drafted at a Bulls game. Quote, Trubisky's been taking heat for Pace's mistake of trading up ever since he got booed at a Bulls playoff game the day after the draft. So from day one, no one was happy. During the NFL draft this past year, when the Bears drafted Fields, that night on ESPN's intro, they talked about how a draft pick could ruin your franchise. They show a picture of Mitch. Jamarcus Russell or Ryan Leaf would be a more acceptable image than Mitch Trubisky. I will never call Mitch a bust, because he isn't. A bust is Jamarcus Russell. 45% completion percentage, 2 years in the NFL, losing seasons, gone. Ryan Leaf, tons of picks, 1 year, gone. Josh Rosen, even, to an extent. Those are busts. Even though Mitch will never be as good as Watson or Mahomes, I will definitely take 29 wins, 10,000 passing yards, playoff appearances, Pro Bowl. I don't care if you don't like it. Those are facts. I'm showing you the facts here. This is what Mitch did in the Bears uniform, like it or not. And just because you didn't get your guy doesn't mean he has to suffer. Leisure said, quote, don't boo Mitch Trubisky when he returns to Soldier Field. That'd be petty, misguided, and embarrassing. All the exasperation of the Bears drafting Trubisky should be directed at Ryan Pace. Boo him instead, that is, if you could find him. Thank you. That's correct. Not Mitch Trubisky's fault. He was drafted at number 2. And to his credit, never complained. Never did. Criticism, constant. Fans after him. A mob, an angry mob after him. Virtually no supporters. Publicly. And the guy still won games. Quote again from the story. He never lost support from people in the building, including the locker room, because he worked constantly. This isn't a guy who squandered his chance for recklessness and entitlement, Jamarcus Russell, Ryan Leaf. His shortfalls in mastering the playbook weren't from a lack of trying. He was gritty, and he never dodged blame. There are a lot of people in this world who can never take blame for anything. He always said, that's on me. And he worked his butt off to be serviceable. In this town, too. And look at the way he was treated. This guy can't even post on social media. You know that, right? He never posts. Because when he does, everybody goes after him. There were memes made about him for marrying his wife. Come on. Get a grip, people. You broke up with him. He didn't break up with you. So there's no reason why he should be booed. It'd be way different if he said, I hate all you guys, I'm out of here, and then lit it up somewhere else. I'd boo him. Like when LeBron James got booed in Cleveland when he came back after going to Miami. That was acceptable. I understood it. But to boo a guy for putting in all this work, for being a part of the team for 4 years, for leading them to two playoff appearances, making a Pro Bowl, being a winning quarterback, makes no sense whatsoever. And I'm not saying this because I like Trubisky or because last year I supported him. I'm just saying this as a common sense thing. I mean, I opened this show talking about it. If you break up with somebody and you see them on the street, your ex, you're going to go up to them and boo them and berate them? No, you moved on. You have someone better. It's over. If they broke up with you, much different. That didn't happen. He didn't say I'm off to greener pastures. He's a backup in Buffalo. That's not greener pastures. He's worse off. He was starting for a premier franchise in the NFL. He was the starting quarterback. And to his credit, he won games, or the defense won him games. He still won games. The record is 29-21. Threw for some yards. Had a couple of playoff runs. That's not boo-worthy. There have been worse athletes here in Chicago, by far, who've done less for their teams. And they never got booed. There were times in which guys weren't the best. They weren't booed as often as what could happen on Saturday. I'm seeing fans very excited to boo him. Come on. Be better than that. You know what they say. If you can't get over your ex, you still love him. So if I were you, I wouldn't boo him. That means you still love him. You still have feelings for him. I don't think you want to admit that when you have Justin Fields waiting to take over this team. So I guess everybody still has feelings for Mitch Trubisky. They must. If everybody wants to boo him, they must. Come on. Let's be sensible here. You have a brand spanking new quarterback who's going to be great, or should be. Why do you even let Trubisky have a spot in your head? I don't get that. You've literally been given everything you've been asked for. Good quarterback, mobile quarterback, new age quarterback. Throw downfield, accurate, poised, better. You've been given everything. And you're still hung up on your ex? You're still worried about what he's up to? Come on. Must be apparent then. You all must have feelings for Mitch Trubisky. That's the only explanation I have. And if that's the case, I guess a lot of people still want him back. I don't even get why this is a story, really. It's a preseason game. I mean, it'd be different if he was the Bills starting quarterback, regular season. Here we go. Not the case. Like last year, when Watson and Trubisky faced off. Big deal. Bears won, too. Wow. We did a video on it. That's when Mike North came on my show and said, Mitch is better than Watson for beating him. That was fun to talk about. It's a real game. This is preseason. And the worst part about it is that he actually won games. He did good for this team and this city, actually, off the field. Good guy. And the reception he's going to get is, I hate you, I'm going to boo you. That's so wrong. Oh, why does everybody care about his feelings? He's an NFL player. I care about his feelings because the man can't even post a picture on Instagram. He can't even talk about his wedding, a joyous event in his life, without being berated and made fun of. I don't think he asked for that. That's why I care about his feelings. And because the guy Actually can't. It'd be way different if this was Jamarcus Russell. Way different. Wouldn't even be on the same level. I'd say boom into oblivion because he didn't try, didn't care, wanted the money, and then left. He cared. Mitch actually cared. Wanted to get better, tried to get better, didn't work, move on. The fact that people are actually contemplating, or if not saying, I'm going to boo him, is so wrong. After what he did for you, he did nothing for me. Hey, we did get to watch two playoff games for the first time since 2010 on top of it. I know it wasn't all because of him, but still, he was the quarterback. Look, everybody has a choice. I'm not going to sit there and regulate and say, oh, you booed him, you're a bad person. No, you're a fan. You have the choice to do whatever you want on Saturday during the game. And my recommendation is, don't boo him. No need to. By booing him, you acknowledge you still have feelings for him, and uh-oh. You're saying he didn't do a good job for the Bears, despite working his ass off. And you're saying that you're still hung up on your ex when you have such a great new player to come. Remember I talked about this a couple of days ago. I live my life by wondering how something could benefit me. Every decision I make is based on that philosophy. Will this benefit me? No, not going to do it. Will it? Okay, I'll do it. I want somebody to explain to me in the comments on Twitter, at John Z Sports, what benefit there is to booing Mitch Trubisky. If there's any benefit, I want to hear it. Then we could talk about, well, maybe it's acceptable, but I don't see one. You're acknowledging you still have feelings for your ex. You're unable to realize, hey, I got a great quarterback in front of me who's going to be great. And you're disregarding the fact that this guy worked his butt off for years to try and be the guy. It didn't work. How's that his fault? He worked. He tried. He wasn't lazy. He had nothing handed to him. He worked his butt off. It didn't work. So be it. Move on. If you find a benefit to booing him, tell me about it. Maybe I'm overlooking it here. Maybe I'm biased. Maybe I'm a media tap dancer, right? There's no need to boo him. And I'm really disappointed that some people are going to do it. I mean, Tariq Cohen put out a tweet saying, don't boo him. A player saying, don't do it. People are still going to do it. Again, you're a fan. You could do whatever the hell you wanted again. Of course, without committing a crime. So, do what you see fit. But if you're on the fence, or if you don't know any better and you don't know what to do, I suggest you don't do it. That doesn't mean cheer for Mitch, but there's no need to boo him. He didn't do bad for this team or this city. Nothing that he did was lazy or wrong. He worked, won games, a couple of playoff appearances, Pro Bowl. And for the rest of his life, by the way, he's going to be haunted regardless. If he can't post a picture talking about his wife, how they got married, isn't that enough punishment? I'm asking, isn't that enough that he can't even post a picture about him and his wife getting married without trolls and people making fun of him? Oh, that's the only thing he could lock up. Really? Haven't you had enough? Don't boo him. Remember the good times you had with him, yes, and the bad ones too, but don't boo him. It's over. Move on. New quarterback, new era. New great team, potentially. Why worry about an old flame? It's over. You broke up with him. Move on and focus on your new partner. More to come here on Sports Talk Chicago. My interview with George Offit comes up next, so stay tuned. Sports Talk Chicago. here with John Zaglul, and we are back and ready for today's special guest. He's the host of Tell Me a Story I Don't Know, and he's covered Chicago sports for 30-plus years. Please welcome George Hoffman to the program. George, it's great to have you on. How are you?
Always a pleasure to be with you, John. I'm hanging in there.
So, George, what's your take on the Bears injury news, first off?
I mean, see, I think they have an injury every hour. You got to keep track of, you know, who's getting injured and when. It's been a whirlwind with them, you know, which makes things a lot more difficult for them, particularly with their offensive line, where they have really been stung badly. And that's where the fear factor comes in with Justin Fields a little bit. But, I mean, the season is still enough time away that they can patchwork some things together. But, you know, Tevin Jenkins, that's an unfortunate disaster for them. And as for their other players, I mean, when you have to bring in a 39-year-old veteran, you've got issues.
What was your reaction to that signing specifically?
Desperation. What do you think? I mean, he's an established player, but at 39, and he's not going to play every snap, and who knows how many games he's going to play. That shows you in the marketplace what's available, and it's not much. And when you're already teetering on disaster and you've got to do that, then you know the issue is really tense. And so the Bears need some of these players to come back healthy, I mean, particularly on their offensive line. I mean, the fact that, you know, Eddie Goldman is practicing and Eddie Jackson is practicing on their defense, that's a positive. But, I mean, the key here, now everybody's talking about Justin Fields, very understandable. But it harkens back to when they had Jay Cutler here. You know, Jay Cutler was going to be, you know, he's finally their franchise quarterback. And in the first year, he was sacked 35 times. In the second year, he was sacked 52 times. The guy got killed. Why? They didn't have an offensive line. Well, it's not much different now.
Should Justin Fields start with that sort of protection? With their makeshift offensive line today, would you be comfortable with Fields starting?
Well, I think Matt Nagy's pretty much spelled it out. Andy Dalton is going to be a starter. I don't have an issue with that at all. You know, how long that lasts remains to be seen. You know, a guy like Fields is a different kind of cat. He can make you look better. At the same time, you want to make sure he's protected. But that's not like to say, you know what, we're going to serve Andy Dalton on a platter with this offensive line. You know, if that's the case and you're thinking along that way, Justin Fields might be in there for the second series. But, I mean, he's already said, look, this is the way we want to do it, and I have no problem with that. Let Justin Fields go along. Let's see where he's at. I'm on this bandwagon. I'm just sitting on the back seat. I'm not one of those that's pushing and saying, you know what, you got to put him there game one. It's okay. Let's see how things progress. The guy's got poise. The guy's got athleticism. The guy has the it factor. I don't think anybody's going to doubt that at all.
What's his ceiling in the NFL? How far could he go, George, when you watch him?
Well, that remains to be seen. I mean, we've seen him in one game, and albeit, you know, against the second teamers, that's fine. But what's most important is when he said the game was slower to him, that's a good thing. It'll certainly speed up when he starts facing, you know, the number one defenses in the league. The game will speed up. But he definitely showed the poise that is necessary to be rated that high as a quarterback. I mean, his ceiling is probably very high. But, you know, part of that ceiling, John, is having enough good wide receivers to throw to. Right now, the Bears have Allen Robinson and Darnell Mooney. And that's, you know, after that, it gets a little bit thin. So, but again, he's the type of talent that is going to make your team better. In the case of Mitch Trubisky, the talent around him tried to make him better. In this case, it's the flip side, and that's the way it should be.
Are you looking forward to Trubisky starting the preseason game?
Oh, it's no big deal to me. I mean, you know, Mitch Trubisky will be lucky if he plays it down this year. You know, if Josh Allen is healthy, he'll never see the light of day. You know, it is kind of interesting that the Bears are hosting a Buffalo Bills team with Trubisky at the helm, and it doesn't matter what he does. He could throw for 10 touchdowns. I highly doubt that's going to happen. I hope the fans treat him with some respect. I can understand where fans will boo, and if they're booing, those boos are going to the general manager, not so much to Trubisky. But I don't think it's such a big deal. It's a preseason game. It doesn't mean anything. And when the season gets underway, as you go along during the season, people will forget Mitch Trubisky. They'll remember Fields, and they'll just simply forget Trubisky.
George Hoffman here on Sports Talk Chicago. George, do you trust Matt Nagy in developing Fields properly?
Well, I think he finally has a quarterback in Justin Fields that he can mold. I don't think he had that guy in Matt Nagy. I think he knew that. I think management eventually saw that there was so much you could do with that guy. Fields is a different story. And yes, there's a big responsibility with Nagy and his offensive-minded people to help this guy become the top-notch quarterback in the NFL. So there is pressure on him, and I want to see. But again, it's a big difference when you are the head coach and you are served Mitch Trubisky. It would be easier if you were served, say, Pat Mahomes. That'd be a lot easier, wouldn't it? Well, now if you're served Justin Fields, that should be a lot easier as well.
How safe do you think his job is moving forward?
I don't, unless the Bears have a brutal start, you know, and a brutal season, I suspect he's going to be back here next year.
Are you okay with that? I mean, do you think he has the talent and the skill set as a coach to be successful in the NFL?
Well, again, I think skill set is one thing. Talent is the key. You need talent to win. And when you look at the Bears, are they talented enough to be a playoff team this year? That's the big question mark. You know, that you have a defense that's in flux, that's aging. You need a little more help at wide receiver. I don't think there's any question about that. You need a stronger offensive line. So I think the book is out. Let's see how he is able to maneuver with Andy Dalton, who's a veteran quarterback. It's completely different than Fields. He doesn't have nearly the athleticism that Fields does. That presents you a completely different package. So I'm sure he's salivating at the idea of using Fields. The question is when that will be. I'm not one of those that says, oh, it'll be game 3, game 4, game 5. Whenever that is whenever that is.
So what's your expectation overall for the Bears this year?
I think they'll struggle to make the playoffs. I think a lot will depend on Fields' success. I think a lot will depend on whether Andy Dalton can keep the ship righted. That's really important. Whether or not their secondary is good enough to keep the opposition down. Look, the fact that they have Eddie Goldman back, and if he's healthy, certainly helps their run defense. That's, I think, very crucial. Whenever Tariq Cohen comes back, that's going to help their offense. But it would be really difficult for me to sit here and tell you today that I think they'll be a playoff team. They could be a 9-8 team. They could be an 8-9 team. It's hard to say those numbers when it's 17 games. So if you ask me today, I don't think they'd be a playoff team. But then again, Fields becomes a huge X factor.
George Hoffman here on Sports Talk Chicago. George, let's talk baseball now. What was your reaction to the Cubs trade deadline moves?
Well, wasn't that stunning? I mean, it was a clear out. I mean, Macy's had a sale. They got rid of everything. I mean, it was just, the real question about all of these trades is what they got back in return. and whether the return will be worthwhile as you go along. But it was safe that Bryant probably was going to be too expensive and may not have wanted to come back here. Rizzo was an issue of age and a back situation and probably didn't want to pay him. Javi Baez, I'm not the only person who felt like, as popular as he is, Javi Baez is the guy that I could see not coming back here and not being re-signed, even if he's available. He might be available. He's had a rough go with the Mets. I mean, there were other moves as well, including Kimbrel and Parra. So they stripped this franchise down. The question is what they do in the offseason. The question is how much money will Ricketts give Hoyer to spend to put a somewhat competitive team on the field? Will they go out and sign a significant free agent? Will it be Nick Castellanos, who obviously flourished here? They've got Nico Horner. They've got Madrigal coming back. So they have a reasonable double play combination unless one of those guys has shifted to the outfield. You know, what they bring back, Ortega looks like he could probably play for a bit here. Wisdom has been quite a find, but who knows how good he's going to be. After that, you've got a lot of work to do. You've got a whole pitching staff to put together. So I was not shocked by what they did. But if you're saying it's not a teardown, that means you're going to be doing some significant work in the offseason to be reasonably competitive next year.
Well, do you believe that statement, that it's not a teardown?
Well, it's a teardown if they put a crappy team on the field next year. Okay? that's a teardown. That's what Theo did. But if some of their young players might kick through to be major leaguers next year, and I can't say that might happen next year. And obviously with some of the trades they made, none of those players look ready except maybe the kid that they got from the Mets who's been injured. And then you go out and you add some pitching and you add a significant player long-term, and suddenly instead of being a 100 loss team, you may lose 85 games. Then it's not a teardown. That just depends. It depends on how they look. It certainly looks like it is now. I mean, you can't fool anybody with that. With what's going on. You know, if you're keeping Wilson Contreras long term, then you've got a building block. But there are a lot of There's a lot of dead weight here. I'm a fan personally of Ian Happ, but as a player, that's dead wood. You know, I'd be very surprised if he's back here next year. That's why I don't think you're going to see a lot of the players you see now. I think there's going to be some significant movement in the free agent market for them to add. They certainly have the money. The question is, will it be used properly?
Who's to blame for their current position, George?
Well, I would say it goes hand in hand with Theo, Jed, and Ricketts. I mean, part of it was, if you look at it, John, this was a core of a team that after 2016 found ways not to hit when it counted. When it counted, the playoffs. I mean, they just stopped hitting, which was very hard to understand. And then, you know, you can't trade certain players when their value is down. One of those was Bryant, who was injured. Hard to trade him when he's down. Nobody was thinking of trading Anthony Rizzo, and certainly nobody was thinking of trading Javi Baez. But when you get to the last year, then you know you got trouble. And then you start to look saying, is it worth it for us to spend this kind of money on? Okay. Chris Bryant, I would have said, the only one. If you're going to spend it on him. He's proven that he seemingly is back, albeit he's had some injury issues. I can understand the Rizzo. I definitely understand Baez. And I like what they got back for Kimbrel. So, I mean, if you're going to blame, blame goes, it gets spread. And I think it starts with Theo Epstein and how they handled the situation where they said it was unacceptable the way they were hitting, and they didn't do anything about it. They didn't do anything about it. They came back with the same group of players saying, you know what? Here's a new hitting coach. Let's see what happens. A whole lot of nothing happened.
Do you think maybe there was reluctance to blame the players? Because it seemed like, obviously, fandom plays a role, and a lot of people didn't want to see these guys go away. Do you think that had something to do with it, too?
Well, sure. I mean, Javi Baez went from a terrific year in 2019 to I'm disappearing during the COVID. And, you know, the fans disappeared from Wrigley Field, and so did Baez's bat. And then when you looked at what he was doing this year, when he left here, he was among the league leaders in strikeouts and errors. You know, El Mago was a magician on the field, and sometimes he was a magician in a different way. You know, he disappeared on certain defensive plays. So you had to take a look at it and say, sure, some of that blame belongs on the players. Of course it does. It's not all on management. These players didn't progress the way you wanted them to really be a core team. Look at the White Sox. A different story because their core players are signed. And the White Sox managed to do something that was, you don't see many teams do what they did. They signed their core players to long-term deals and, you know, for reasonable prices. And now they're here for several more years, and you could see what's happening on the South side. It's something that they wanted to see happen on the North side, and it didn't happen.
How impressive have the White Sox been this year, George?
Well, they've been impressive. I think what's most important with the White Sox now is that they have health, that they have Jimenez back and Robert back, and they get Grandal back. But they still have the issue of beating teams that are above 500. I know there was recently an article about teams that were under 500 against teams with records above 500 that won the World Series. Well, that was like 35% of those teams since 2000, at least 65% who weren't. And, you know, some of these series against the Yankees and A's have been pretty good, and they still have series with, you know, the Rays and the Jays. So I'm curious about that. Their starting pitching right now is a little bit in flux. Certainly Dallas Keuchel's arrow is pointing down. That's not good for the White Sox. Dylan Cease's arrow is pointing up. Carlos Rodon's arrow is pointing sideways. I want to see whether or not he can stay in one piece, which is what I've been saying for him for years, and see whether or not he can bring back what was a terrific start for him. Lucas Giolito, again, has been a little bit inconsistent. And, you know, Lance Lynn has been their ace. And their bullpen, which was supposed to be their strength, has sputtered from time to time. You know, you can put out all the good names that you want, and then suddenly Liam Hendricks gives up 7 runs in 2 games. And Craig Kimbrel gives up a homer when he's pitching in the 8th. So it's not like, okay, here they are. It's like a machine. They'll do exactly what you think they're going to do, and then they don't. They're obviously going to win their division. They're running away. In the playoffs, it's about pitching, and they have to hope that their starting pitching is strong. And right now, it's going to be very interesting who will be in that rotation against whomever in that first series.
Who would you pick from the 5 today to be in the rotation?
Well, I mean, I think Lance Lynn is a lock.
Right.
Okay. After that, I mean, it just depends on who's pitching well. I would suggest to you Lucas Giolito will be there. And I would think then it becomes down to Rodon versus Keuchel. And if Rodon pitches relatively well, he's going to ease Keuchel out of the rotation. Then you have Dylan Cease, who could be a number 4 starter. Right now, everything is in flux. And that's why you play 162 games. To wait and see. So that's a real tough question to answer at this stage, John, other than the fact that probably Lance Lynn would be your lock opener.
Do you see him making the World Series and winning it?
that's another hard one to tell. Baseball has been a very interesting sport over time. It's rare to see, well, I mean, back-to-back winners. Geez, I can't remember the last time that's happened. And this year, you've got some very strong teams, you know, in the American League. Houston is strong. Oakland, unfortunately, lost their best pitcher when got hit in the head. That's really unfortunate for them. The Yankees are coming. The Red Sox are fading. The Rays are really good. I would dare not sit here and say the White Sox can make the World Series, but I wouldn't bet against them as well. I'm not trying to sit on a fence here. I just think that's really hard for me to pick. For me, it's about pitching. And the White Sox pitching of late has been better than average, but not great.
More to come with George Offit in just a moment. Stay tuned. This is Sports Talk Chicago. Here on Sports Talk Chicago. George, a few more questions before we finish up. First off, your favorite guest on Tell Me a Story I Don't Know is who?
Oy, that's almost impossible to answer. Every guest that I've had has fascinating stories. I think the one guest that surprised me was Peggy Kaczynski, the former sports anchor and award winner at Channel 5. She was open, vulnerable, honest, and she made for a fabulous interview. Ron Coomer was terrific in just talking about his upbringing as a Cubs fan and some wonderful stories. But, you know, you go through all these. See, Marv Albert, who was just sensational. It's always interesting to interview people that you've known for 40 years. Kevin Harlan, wow, what a kick in the pants. You know, he's going to be in our winter season, right by the Super Bowl. So there have been a lot of people that I've talked to over the course of time. Each one has new stories to tell. And when you're done, you keep saying, boy, that was great. And, you know, they are. They're all fascinating people. Dan Bellino, the umpire from Crystal Lake. I mean, he had some wonderful stories about not only his upbringing, but his very first day umpiring in the majors, which happened to be a game at Wrigley Field in which he had to drive from Crystal Lake at 5:30 and got a police escort when he got off the highway. That was a great story. So I mean, it's like, whoa, really? You know, I told the cops, listen, I'm umpiring tonight. Can you get me to the ball game? And they did. So it's a lot. I can tell you, it's a joy to do. Third season begins September 7th, and we're going to have two back-to-back episodes with two really well-known Chicagoans.
What should listeners expect for season 3?
Well, it's going to be a little more seasonal. We're going to have more football guests. We're going to have several basketball guests, including Adam Amin, who I recently met. He was the first of all of my guest that I had never met before. So I wanted to meet him, and we did. Wonderful guy. He was really, it's got rocket to stardom for Adam. I'll do a little bit of hockey with Doc Emmerich, who I interviewed last May, and he's got great stories about growing up in Indiana and coming to see Blackhawks games as a kid. So, Laura Oakman, who is the sideline reporter from Fox, who worked here locally covering Michael Jordan back in the day. And she's got quite a bunch of stories to tell. So, we try to be a little more seasonal now in the fall season. And so there'll be, like I say, a number of football guests. Habarkish is another one. He's got some really interesting stories to tell. So it's just a great deal of fun. And I really, really want people to listen to this, to subscribe, to Tell Me a Story I Don't Know. And you'll find that when you listen to one, you may want to listen to a couple as you go along.
And George, before we finish up today, last question, what's the funniest story that's been told on the podcast?
Probably Eddie Olczyk's story about the birth of his second child. which is priceless. He can tell a story as well as anybody. And it's just the story about the birth of his child while he was a member of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And that night, he was traded to Winnipeg while the birth was taking place. And he tells, I mean, the story is absolutely hysterical. From the happenstance, that's number one, but the way he tells it. So Eddie told, I think still, he's the king of the storyteller. And I would advise people to listen to that. It's absolutely, it's 10 minutes long. I mean, that story itself is 10 minutes, but it's absolutely great.
Well, George, thank you so much for joining me. Always a pleasure to have you on and talk Chicago sports. Best wishes with the program, and I'm sure we'll be catching up again soon. Thank you so much.
Same with you, John. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Great talk there with George Offen, and that'll do it for us today here on Sports Talk Chicago. Big thank you to George Offen himself, Matt Dubiel, WCKG, Jim DeTobin, and Tomorrow Entertainment for making this show a success. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zaglua. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Another great show comes your way tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Till then, stay safe, and so long, everyone.
No! No! Where are the turtles?